Hello, welcome back, my international friends. So we have been in a sermon series in the book of Hebrews called Confidence in the Builder. We've been talking a lot about faith the last few weeks, and as we enter into chapter 11 today, we're going to have some great insight on how, as Christians, we can live out our faith. And we can do that within our families, within our workplaces, our homes, and our friendships. So Craig is having us slow down just a little bit. Craig likes to preach he likes to do like whole books of the Bible, and then we literally do each verse within that book. But he wants us to slow down in chapter 11 a little bit. We're going to spend 5 weeks, I think, on that. Because we just want to saturate ourselves within this chapter. Given that so much culture out in today's society doesn't know the Bible stories, we're going to spend a little bit more time in this chapter. It's called The Heroes of Faith. We don't want to assume everybody knows the stories that we're talking about in this chapter, so we're going to dive a little deeper, and we're going to highlight them as much as we can. We probably aren't going to be able to spend a ton of time on every single one, but hopefully it'll help encourage us in our own faith. A couple questions to think about as we consider Hebrews 11. Why do you believe in Jesus? How do you define your faith to others? And what part does faith play out in obedience to God? Faith can look different in each person's development, but as a Christian, there are two steps that I think we take, and I think it's described well by this picture. I came across this as I was starting to kind of think about Hebrews 11, and I love it. It's by R.C. Sproul. He's a theologian. And we first start to believe in God as Christians. We surrender our lives. We surrender knowing that there is nothing within ourselves that we have that can give us eternal life. The second step is we believe God. We believe everything that he says is true, and we start to apply it in our own lives. So there's a little bit of a progression there. And we know at the beginning that we're beginning to apply God's truth in our lives when we respond to God in some sort of obedience or submission as an act of faith and trust of the heart. Who loves the word submission? Okay, two people. Excellent. Submission is a really powerful thing that we can do in faith to give to God. And to do all of these things, we do need to have faith in a God who's good, who's trustworthy, and who loves us. Faith can be sometimes hard to define. And in our culture today, there's, like Craig said, there's a lot of different types of faith going on. So as we go through the first seven verses today in Hebrews 11, we're going to learn to define our faith. We're going to receive a commendation through faith. And we're going to allow faith to be an example to others. Faith sometimes starts with a prayer. A man was in the woods hiking, and suddenly a bear pops out and starts to chase him. The man is terrified, and he begins to pray, "Lord Jesus, please make this bear more of a Christian." Suddenly, the bear bows his head and begins to pray, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food I am about to receive. Let's pray." Oh, Lord, it's good to laugh. God, I just thank you this morning for everyone that's here and who's listening online. And God, I thank you that there are many different steps of faith that we as Christians can take. And I pray today as we hear your words in Hebrews 11 that we would all just take a little step deeper into faith, whatever that looks like for us today, God. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us understand the words of the Bible. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to earth. We thank you, Jesus, for all of the work that you did on the cross that makes all of this possible. We love you today. And we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I always like to start with reading the chapter and the verses. So let's do that. It's so weird today because I don't have a clicker. I surrendered my clicker. So Dustin's going to help me out. Let's give Dustin a round of applause on AV. Woo! So Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he has rewards for those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. There are going to be more passages as we go on in the next 4 weeks, so this is just the starting place. So the first thing I want to talk about today is how to define our faith, and that's very easy to see in Hebrews 11:1. It can be hard to define faith. If someone asks you why you believe in Jesus, what do you say?
I don't know, I just do.
Maybe that was just me.
I don't know, I can't explain it. I just do.
Which may feel very true inside of us today, but it may not be for the person that we're speaking with. A friend of mine used to say, I know that I know that I know that I know, and that's true for her. In our current society, with this new phrase out there, live your truth, if everyone has a different truth, there is no need to follow God. Ultimately, with that type of thinking, we are in charge of what we believe to be true, and that is true for us. We become the God of our truth when we are the ones that decide what's true and what's not, right? We become an idol when we are in that place. And an idol is something or someone that we trust more than God. So in the live your own truth, I am a God. She is a God, he is a God, everybody's their own God, and it just creates chaos, right? As Christians, our truth comes from the Bible. The Bible is full of who God is, his nature, his character, and to live out that truth and to believe that truth, we need to have faith. Faith must be revealed to the person by God himself. I'm not sure that talking with people and debating faith is always helpful. It can be helpful, but we can't convince somebody. It has to be the work of God inside that person that draws them into places of faith. We can help, but ultimately it's God's responsibility. Let's look at 11:1 again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. There are two things in there I want to talk about today, assurance and conviction. Assurance means that the person has a complete steadfastness in their mind, a complete confidence in who God is and that he will fulfill his promises. Sometimes people are called hard-headed. Sometimes that can be a bad thing. In this case, I think it's a good thing. When we have the assurance that God is going to fulfill his promises, and we know that we know that we know who he is, and that can't change in our mind, that is a good thing. Hebrews 1:3 tells us who Jesus is in a really beautiful way. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. In just that one little phrase, we can see that he's glorious, He's eternal radiant. He's powerful. And that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father in heaven. Y'all hear me say, all y'all hear me say that a lot. If you see Jesus say or do something, you can apply that to Father in heaven. That's what this passage is talking about. He is the exact representation of God. Has anybody here seen The Chosen? A couple of us. My husband and I have just started watching it. It's so good. If you have a hard time kind of grasping a God who is a God of relationship and not just rules and sacrifices and things like that, I just really want to encourage you guys to watch it. We have Amazon Prime. You can see it on that. There are lots of different ways to watch it. But to see Jesus interact with the people in that story, I think that is how he really is. And it's very beautiful. He's personal. He's relational. He's not full of anger and wrath. So if you want to know what the exact representation of God is, watch that if you have a little bit of time, and you might just get a little glimpse of who Jesus really is for you. The book of Hebrews also contains several passages that discuss the promises of God. Here are a few of them. We're going to barrel through them. Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. God made a promise to Abraham, and he fulfilled that promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by him to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, attained the promise. God said it. He fulfilled it. Hebrews 8, 6. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant based on better promises than what the Jewish Hebrews had experienced. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. Jesus is better than the old way of doing things. Hebrews 8, 12. God is merciful toward us. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's a promise. Hebrews 10, 23, holding fast to hope in Jesus because God is faithful to keep his promises. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He promises, he fulfills it because he's faithful, he's merciful. There are so many things in the first 10 chapters of Hebrews that we've learned about Jesus and why he's better than the old covenant. I just don't have time this morning. So if you have time and want to think about that a little bit more, you can go back to some previous sermons and look at that. But I love that all of the promises in Hebrews surround the work of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have a hope of a better priest than the way things were in the past. We have hope of a relationship with Jesus, not just rituals and sacrifices, but a real relationship with someone who's really real, and he's here, sitting here, as much as the chair that we're sitting on. We can live with Jesus and have him be part of our life every day, every moment of every day. We don't have to wait till heaven happens. We don't have to wait till we see Jesus face to face. We can experience him here within our daily lives. So whatever you're struggling with, he is here. He is with you. He will help you navigate that and walk through it. So that's assurance. What's the assurance of the hope of things that we hope for? Hope is a major theme in Hebrews. We can sometimes think of hope as kind of an uncertain desire. I hope I get the job. I hope I get invited to the party. I hope it doesn't snow on Saturday. Or I hope it does snow on Saturday so I can go skiing. For believers in Christ, our hope is a desire based on who God is and what he has accomplished through Jesus. It might mean that you have hope and the assurance that God is with you when you experience a school shooting. It might mean that you have assurance and hope that God is good when you get a cancer diagnosis. It might mean that you have the assurance that God will forgive you, even when you mess up and you sin. These are only a few of the character traits that God has, but you can find and discover more of those as you dive deeper into relationship with Jesus. Malachi 3:6 says, "For the Lord does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow." So as Christians, we can have assurance in who God is, that the things we discover in the Bible about God's character, those don't change. Even when we're going through different circumstances, he does not change. And he is for us. And whether it's 2,000 years ago or today, we can have the assurance that he'll keep his promises to us. I want to do things a little bit differently today. Normally we pray at the end, and we will pray at the end, but I am a woman that likes to pray. So I want us to pray as we go through the message this morning and just see if the Holy Spirit might speak something to us as we pray throughout the sermon. Is that okay to do something different? Okay, everybody's like, what's going on? Ethan says, yes. Okay, so let's bow our heads just a little bit and just pray for a second. Jesus, your word says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And Jesus, we believe that to be true. Jesus, would you just show me right now where I carry the assurance of your character? What do I know that's true about you that I would not deviate from that? What is that one thing that I carry? Jesus, where do you want to increase my assurance of things hoped for today? Jesus, is there a promise you want to remind me to hold on to that you promised me to work out? Thank you, Jesus, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you would answer our prayers in Jesus' name. Anybody sense anything? Yay, we had some people that did. That's awesome. Are you going to share with us? Love it. Thank you. Thank you. So prayer for growth, not that we would get eaten by a bear. That's awesome. Thank you. When I ask open-ended questions like that in prayer, usually it's the first thing that you sense is usually God speaking. So if you guys are like, I'm just not sure, if there was something that dropped into your mind or your heart, trust that God's speaking to you. And that's really fun. That's how we can learn to apply things and trust God, right? Okay, the second part of this verse talks about conviction of things unseen. This means that Christians believe the reality of something that he or she cannot see or touch. And that can feel a little bit hard to explain to people, right? The things not seen cannot always be explained by our personal sight or our experience, but they're founded in a personal relationship with Jesus that expresses itself through one's trust and obedience to God as a response to his love. So he gives us faith, we trust, we respond with faith and obedience, and that's how the cycle works. Faith involves the whole person. It's not an intellectual belief, but the person's mind, heart, and soul. All of it's part of it. And faith allows Christians to make God-honoring decisions based on unseen realities, as we're going to see as we look at the following verses in Hebrews 11. This conviction about God's unseen promises allow Christians to persevere and to have strength when we're tempted and have opposition. We kind of dig our feet in and we're like, nope, I know this is true. You can come at me, but I know that this is true and I'm not leaving this place of belief and faith. I want to quickly contrast the picture of faith that we've been talking about in Hebrews 11:1 with John 20, 24 through 29. Thomas is one of the disciples that Jesus was with, and sometimes he had trouble believing things that he could not see or touch. So now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Wow. So if any of us have thoughts of, I would be different than the disciples if I was there, we're not. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Jesus will meet us where we are. It's one of the beautiful things I think that's about him. Maybe you can relate a little bit more to Thomas than you can into the 11:1 passage. But Jesus declares you will be blessed if you believe and don't have to see it. If you want to have that type of faith and you don't feel like you have it right now, it's okay. God will meet you where you are. Pray and ask him to do that work in you, that he would grow that desire to just believe for the sake of belief, not for the sake of proof, right? What do you think? Should we pray again? That seems like a good time to pray. Let's bow our heads one more time. God, we just want to ask you personally that you would show us if we're people that need to see proof of unseen things first. Are we more like Thomas? And Lord, I thank you for meeting me where I am. Thank you that you would grow my spiritual sight for you and for you alone. Thank you that you would grow my faith in unseen things. And it's in your name I pray, amen. All right, we made it through the first passage. Let's go on to the second. How's that sound? So Hebrews 11:2, we're going to look at how we receive a commendation through faith. For by it, the people of old receive their commendation. Some translations use the word approval instead of commendation. People with faith please God very much. All of my international friends that just took a very long trip that have been studying about Jesus and doing missions work overseas, you please him very much because you have the faith to do that. But it doesn't have to be going overseas. It can be stepping out in lots of different ways here. It can be just sharing your faith with a coworker. It could be praying for a friend. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it. But when we have faith, God is pleased very much with us. Faith is a gift that God gives us because he is saving us and because he loves us. If you have ever completed the spiritual gifts assessment here at New Crossing as part of your discipleship structure or part of your new members class, you find out that faith is a spiritual gift that God gives. And it's defined this way: a special ability that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to discern with extraordinary confidence the will and the purposes of God. The gift of faith is given to all believers when we put our faith in Jesus. and we're all given the spiritual gift. Maybe some of it carry a little bit more deeply. Some of us maybe carry other gifts a little bit more deeply. But every single Christian has this spiritual gift when we put our faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not by your own doing. It is a gift of God. Let me say it this way. It's God's grace, not our faith, that saves us. But we must receive this gift in order to be saved. And then we allow that gift of grace to take root and to start to grow and to shape that grace gift within us. And it helps develop our faith. When we receive the gift of grace, Hebrews 11:2 tells us that God gives us a commendation. A commendation in governmental terms is an award praising someone's actions. In biblical terms, a commendation is to be a witness to affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something because it's been taught to them by revelation, divine revelation and inspiration. So we are given a commendation. Kind of another way is a testimony, right? Our commendation in faith is the testimony of God in our lives. And it may not always be able to be explained in terms that people can see or touch for themselves. But what is your testimony? We all have one if we have a faith in Jesus. What are the unseen things that you've seen that you can share with others to help them build their faith? Jill and I host a workshop once a year. It's called Double Portion. And it's a 3-day workshop that helps women who have been sexually abused find freedom with Jesus. And one of the women we were praying one day during this Double Portion series, and God healed her in like 20 minutes. Literally broke and healed and restored her within 20 minutes. And she just sat there and she goes, I've been in counseling for 20 years. And I was just healed now. I know, isn't that great? That is part of her testimony. And God has something amazing in your life that he wants to do, maybe has done, but keep track of those amazing things that you know that you could not do on your own. There's no way you could do it. That's part of your commendation. So I'm going to just pray again real quick, okay? Jesus, I just thank you that you are a grace giver. And Jesus, I just ask that you would remind us right now of one thing that you've done in our lives that we can't explain apart from you. And God, if we're new in our faith and maybe we don't have those moments, I thank you, Jesus, that you would give us some of those moments that we know that we know that we know had to be your work because we couldn't do it on our own. And I thank you that you would use these as building blocks of encouragement for those that need some encouragement and faith in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're about halfway through. Some of our international friends are a little bit sleepy, so can we just do something really weird and like just get up and stretch a little bit? Halfway through, halfway intermission. Nice. Okay, and then when you're ready, we can sit down and keep going. All right. Sometimes I like to test my responses. So let's do a little test this morning, okay? So Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things visible. What's your response to that? Definitely talking about unseen things. Do you have the full assurance that yes, God did this? Are you fully convinced that it's true? Or do you feel a little bit more like Thomas, like, there's some other theories out there. I feel like I need some proof. Or do you feel like it's utterly unbelievable? It never happened. Just words on a page. It's good to kind of just test our responses to biblical truth sometimes, because then you can kind of gauge, okay, yeah, this is hard for me to believe, and then that can be turned into a prayer, God, help me to believe this. Do a work in me that allows me to believe this is true. If you have that utter confidence and assurance, that's awesome. But sometimes when we kind of see what's going on inside with our initial responses, that can be helpful in our faith journey. Hebrews 11:3 begins with by faith. If all y'all don't remember anything today except by faith, take that home with you. By faith is how we're going to see the people in the following verses walk out their faith. And it's only by faith that we can do the things that God asks us to do. It's only by faith that those in Hebrews 11 can do what God called them to do. So as you leave today, maybe you have some by faith things that you're going to do this week. Maybe by faith I'm going to go to church, even if I'd rather stay home and drink coffee in my pajamas. That's not you today because you're here. By faith I'm going to read my Bible, even if I don't understand it and it doesn't all make sense. By faith I'm going to invite somebody to church or to the women's retreat or to the men's breakfast or to community group or to Bible study. By faith, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to look for answers to my prayers. By faith, I'm going to serve God and his church. By faith, I'm going to open up my mouth and share my testimony when the Holy Spirit prompts me to. By faith, I'm going to believe in God. And by faith, I'm going to believe God. Hebrews 3 is the first illustration that we see in our passages this morning, and it's based on the beginning of the Bible. So let's read Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form or void. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. If you were to continue to read through these verses, you're going to see that the entire universe was formed at God's word. He spoke it, and it became existent. Let there be, and it came into being. Light and dark, the sky, dry land, plants, and seas. Sun, moon, and stars, all created by God's word. Sea creatures and flying creatures. Land animals, and lastly, humans created in the image of God. Faith allows us to understand that God created the world from nothing but his creative word alone. We understand this by faith, not because we saw it happen, because, hello, we weren't there yet. But we understand it from Scripture and from our relationship with a loving Father who sees us and loves us. He created the universe and us with purpose, intentionality, and we are part of that purpose. I want to quickly talk about the Big Bang Theory. It's not the show on CBS that I'm talking about. It's the Big Bang Theory that some believe that the universe was started with a big, random, massive explosion from a single point billions of years ago. The Bible does not give us the exact detail on what happened when God said, "Let there be light." But in faith, we should believe that the universe was maybe created from a random explosion. No. It could be created from an explosion, but behind the explosion is God's spoken word. He's behind that. The visible word did not come from anything that can be seen, but God called the universe into existence out of nothing and declared it was to be. And it was. When he speaks something, guys, he will make it happen, I promise. This is evidence of that. Christianity is based in so many invisible realities that many Jewish Christians in this time of the book of Hebrews were so used to doing their rituals and their sacrifices that they could see and touch and feel that the unseen things made them begin to doubt their faith. They were backsliding into rituals and sacrifices the way they used to do because it made their faith feel seem more real if they could touch it and feel it. So the Hebrews author begins to go back into Hebrews, into the Jewish scriptures, focusing on their heroes of faith. These were men and women in the Jewish Christians that the Jewish Christians were familiar with, and they looked beyond their present world to God and to his promises for the future. The rest of Hebrews 11 is going to present wonderful examples of men and women who believed that God could bring something like this to pass. Things that they could not see, things that they could not touch, but for them, the invisible would eventually appear visible. So we're going to look at a few of these examples of these men and women and see how their examples allow them to be an example of faith to us and how we can also be an example of faith to others. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable offer, a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. The word righteous here is only possible within a relationship to someone else. We can only be righteous with God if we're in relationship with him. Abel was giving God the first and the best of his flocks as an act of faith, which implies that Cain was doing the opposite. It's not about the difference between grains or animal sacrifices. Both of these were given in the tabernacle to God. But it's about the heart posture in which those gifts were given. The story of Cain and Abel is in Genesis 4, so let's read verses 2 through 5. And again, this is Eve, Abel and Cain were Adam and Eve's first children. So again, Eve bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought his firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Cain also became so angry that he ended up killing his brother Abel. The Bible doesn't specifically give us a reason for why God rejected Cain's sacrifice, but God evaluates both the motives and the quality of what we offer him. Genesis 4:7 tells us, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. From the beginning of creation, God was concerned more about the heart than the actual sacrifice. We get a clue about why God may have accepted Abel's sacrifice more than Cain's from 1 John 3:12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did you murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Abel was being commended as righteous, a righteous man, and to be righteous in God's eyes takes faith. Have you ever wanted to do things your own way? Anybody? Anybody? Maybe you said no to God when he asked you to do something. Maybe you said, I'm too busy, or I don't like to be around people, so I'm going to stay home. Maybe you wanted to ignore a hurt that you caused in a relationship, so you didn't apologize. This is my favorite. Maybe I have a pattern of telling God, I will do this, instead of God saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to do this, instead of God, what do you want me to do today? If you're in a season where you find it difficult to hear God speaking to you, it could be that there's something that he's asked you to do that you haven't been faithful with to follow through and do it yet. So maybe go back and just ask, God, is there anything that you've asked me to do that I haven't done? And if there's nothing, then you're free. But if there's something like, oh yeah, I forgot, just go do it. It'll become a place of righteousness before God, and you might be able to hear him speak to you a little bit differently in the future. Doing things our own way is a byproduct of sin. And choosing our own way instead of God's way is not going to produce righteousness in God's eyes. Because again, we're deciding what we're going to do. We need to have faith to do the things that God asks us to do. And a lot of times they're not going to make sense. And a lot of times they're going to feel really, really big, like I can't do that. And those are exactly the things he wants us to do because we need him to do it. And that helps build our faith. Let's look at Hebrews 5. We're going to look at Enoch's example. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch's story is found in Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. So let's all say that really fast. Methuselah. Jill always just said, say it like you mean it. Nobody's going to know if you're not pronouncing it correctly. Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he had fathered Methuselah 300 years. He was really old. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Anybody feel like they want to live 365 years? I have pains in my ankles and my knees. I don't know what that would look like if I'm 365. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was the seventh son of Adam, and he was a Jewish prophet. It is said that Enoch pleased God in Hebrews 11:5, which takes us to Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:5-6 interprets Genesis 5:22-24 of Enoch walking with God as having pleased God. This helped me personally understand a vague idea of what it means to please God. And it gives more of a definition of walking with God in my everyday life in a way that demonstrates trust and obedience from the heart, i.e. righteousness. Again, it's not the religious sacrifices that God is after, but he's after the relationship. Adam and Eve had that type of relationship before sin entered in. They walked with God. There was no shame. There was nothing between them and God. Sin broke that. But that's God's desire for us, is to live that closely, that intimately with God. We're walking with him throughout the day, through every circumstance. This passage was to serve as a warning to the Jewish Christians whose faith was wavering. No one, not Abel, Enoch, anyone else, can please God without faith. All the rituals that the Jewish Christians performed meant nothing without faith. They're just things to do. I had a friend, her name was Brianna. I discipled her, this was years ago, but she was a practicing Catholic, but she wanted to learn more about Jesus, and they didn't have anything like that in their local church, so I discipled her. And there was one day that kind of leading up to Lent, and she's like, hey, I'm going to do Lent. I'm like, great. Why? And she's like, well, that's just what we do. I said, do you know the meaning behind it? No, it's just what we do. So of course, those of you that know me, I send homework home. So the homework for the week was for her to figure out what Lent was, what was the purpose, why did people do it? And the next week she came back and she said, I'm going to do Lent. I said, that's great. Why? And she told me what it was and why they did it and how it was about praying and fasting and repentance, which are great practices for Christians to do. But she connected her heart to the practice. That's what this stuff is talking about. Don't just do it to do it, but there's a reason God wants us to do those things. And for her, it completely changed Lent. It completely changed Easter because she understood why. So that was really good. It deepened her faith. And to please God, we must have faith. It's an absolute requirement. That sounds really strong, but it is. If you want to please God, absolutely you have to have faith. Let's just all say that, absolute requirement. Wow, everybody's really quiet. It's an absolute requirement. Everybody's really quiet. Okay. Pleasing God has two parts. We have to believe that God exists and that we have to seek a personal relationship with him. Drawing from Enoch's example in Hebrews 11:5, we see that Enoch pleased God because he had a personal relationship with him. God will not settle for a mere acknowledgement of his existence. He wants a dynamic, personal, intentional relationship with us that transforms our life. This is the message that Enoch's example should give Jewish Christians and also us today. They and we should seek to please God absolutely, but not apart from having faith. So if you want to please God, ask God to deepen your faith. That will please him. Lastly, let's look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God's concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Noah, by faith, believed God's warnings that he had not seen yet. God divinely warned Noah about the coming events that the world had never seen. God warned Noah that it would rain, and it had never rained before. God also promised to bring the animals to Noah. He didn't have to go looking for them. God would bring them to him. You can read Noah's story through Genesis 6 through 9. We don't have time to do that today, but it's a lot to read. It's really encouraging. So if you have time this week, maybe you could do that for your reading. The world in which Noah lived was flooded with evil. The number of those who remembered the God of creation, perfection, and love had dwindled down to just one family, and that was Noah's family. God's response to the evil was a 120-year-long chance for people to return to God. That's how long it took Noah to build the ark, is 120 years. There were no Black and Decker tools back then, so it took longer. But again, I see that as God's grace. He gave everybody 120 years to repent and to return, and nobody did. So there was judgment. Noah believed what God said, and he constructed the ark. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but the water, it took 220 days for the water to recede. 221 days. All the people other than Noah's family and all the creatures were destroyed. In a world of evil and sin, obedience to God is different, and it makes disobedience stand out even more. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark, and it was about 1.5 football fields long. There were no Black and Decker tools. It took a long time. It probably looked very crazy to those that were watching Noah build it. Don't be surprised if your obedience to God would make you look a little bit different to those that are in disobedience around you. I love that Noah loved God and that he followed God and was obedient to God, but he was not sin-free. Noah needed saving, just like we do. And in order for us to be saved, we need to choose to have faith in Jesus. Faith is believing in God, but that's the first step. God also wants to take our faith deeper today and not just merely say that he exists, not to acknowledge that he simply exists, but he wants us to take a step into a deeper relationship with him today. Because when we're in relationship, we begin to believe God. If the worship team wants to come up, Ethan's ready to go. So we all have our own faith journey. So where is God calling you into deeper places of faith this morning? Do you need to make more of a heart connection in faith? Not just acknowledging that God exists, but maybe really inviting him into your life today? Maybe he wants to have us dive deeper into the assurance of things hoped for. Maybe you don't really know what God's really like. Read the Bible. Attend church where they teach from the Bible. Watch The Chosen if you haven't done that yet. Maybe you need help with conviction of things not seen. Do you have a hard time believing in the things that are unseen? Pray and ask God to help trust his word at face value. Maybe you need to believe that God is giving you a commendation, something in your testimony to share with others. What are those things he wants you to share in faith? With whom does he want you to share them this week? Maybe you need to walk more with God on a daily basis, or in fear like Noah did, or in reverence of God like Noah did, and obey something that you've been ignoring. Maybe God wants you to pray consistently for someone who has not yet begun their faith journey. Where is God today gently placing his finger on your heart? Believe in God. That's the first step. But also believe God in all he says and all he promises us. Let's pray. Do you mind just playing a little bit? Thank you. God, we just thank you so much for the stories of faith that you've shown with us today. We thank you for those that we're going to hear about over the next 4 weeks. And God, I just pray that you help us connect personally with each story. Jesus, if there's a place where we would choose rather to do things on our own than with you, I just pray that you would help us to repent of that today and ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, if you want us to walk more like Enoch, where we walk with you because it pleases you, would you give us the courage to do that, to invite you into every moment of every day? And God, if there's something in the place of obedience that you want us to have the courage to step into today, I just pray that you would put that on our hearts. God, I thank you that you are giving us a commendation, and I thank you, God, that we wouldn't have to seek it out, that this week we would see you bring somebody to us, and that you would prompt our hearts to share, hey, share this with them. Because God, if you bring them to us, and you ask us to speak something, it's to help build up their faith. And God, that's our desire today, that we would be a people of deep, deep faith. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.